Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Deb Evans Consulting and Kigo. Unlock your digital potential. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Good evening. This is Deb Evans coming to you live for Social Geek Radio in the Houston, Texas area.
And Jack Munson in the Chicago Kigo offices. How you doing tonight, Deb?
I'm doing very well. We have to say hello to our geeks, everyone that's tuned in tonight.
Hey,
glad
geeks.
Glad to have them.
We passed a milestone last week.
We did.
We're officially past 300 episodes. So thanks to all of our guests and listeners and everybody who's been sharing this thing across the internet over the past 7+ years. And and now it's on to another 300 episodes. How about that?
That it's on to another 300. And, you know, as a friendly reminder, too, we can let everyone know. I know they're listening to this via, I don't know, any, you know, YouTube, iTunes, Blog Talk, Social Geek Radio. But we also have a Facebook page, so they can find us on Facebook / Social Geek Radio and connect with us on Twitter at Deb CE and at Jack Munson. So we're just everywhere, aren't we, Mr. Munson?
Yeah, we got to keep finding a few new social channels, too. To pull into this little band. Let's move on to the next 300 episodes. How about it? This is episode 301, and tonight's topic is something that we don't see a lot of in the franchise industry as far as conversations and articles and blog posts and videos and all of that kind of stuff outside of what the folks at Franchise Update Media are doing. And we're talking about multi-unit franchising. So we thought a great conversation would be with the co-founder of Franchise Update, and that's Therese Tilgen of Franchise Update. How you doing, Therese?
I'm wonderful, Jack and Deb. I really appreciate the invitation to be on your program.
It's great to have you. And like I said, it just feels like there's so much conversation these days about franchising through the IFA and through lots of other groups across the globe. And it feels like you guys are really the only ones that have your finger really on the pulse of what's happening with multi-unit operators. So we really wanted to drive into that tonight. Before we do, give us some background about yourself and about Franchise Update Media.
Sounds great, Jack. I have been in the franchise industry now for 37, 38 years. I'm really dating myself.
You started at the age of three.
Yes, two actually. My husband and I started the company 30 years ago this May. So it's a big milestone for us.
Nice.
And how did we get into creating Franchise Update Media? Both my husband and I were in franchising prior to starting this business. And actually, my husband, Gary Gardner, who I met at Santa Clara University, he was with a Fortune 500 company and got out of it, started a business. He always wanted to be self-employed. And so he started one business in the healthcare field. I, on the other hand, worked for a franchisor out of college for about 7 years and grew up through the company when, you know, most of the world really didn't know what franchising was. The association was McDonald's because they were, you know, getting a lot of good attention in the media. What we learned also having been a franchisee of a group was that there was so much information that was not available. We had some hard lessons, especially as a franchisee, that, you know, had we known more or had more access to information about becoming a franchisee, we probably would have made a different decision. So ultimately, we decided that there was an opportunity to create an educational forum via a newsletter. That's where we started. Actually, we were typesetting back then. This is pre-desktop publishing.
Nice.
And that's how we started the company. It was to provide content to educate predominantly franchisors That's where we started other franchisors on important issues that they needed to know.
So newsletter gave way to sort of full-blown magazine and magazines, and then into website. Is that sort of the evolution that we saw?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we started with Franchise Update Magazine and then launched a conference, which we're still producing, Leadership and Development Conference. And then came the internet. So I think franchising.com, which we, I think, you know, we're into 17 years with franchising.com now. And that you talk about a learning experience, but we love the URL.
Yeah.
So intuitive. And that was really critical in those days, right?
Yeah. You had that URL from the start, franchising.com. You just picked up on it one day and nobody else had already claimed that.
Somebody actually had claimed it. Somebody that owed us a lot of money. And so, they said, I don't have the money to pay you, but I do own the rights to franchising.com. They had not done anything with it. So that's how we obtained it.
Excellent.
yeah, that's a backstory. Most people don't know. And we said, yep, this is worth it. And we're, that's how we got going.
And imagine looking back 17 years ago, I won't ask how much money they owed you, but I think you made a good deal.
We made a good deal.
Now, were you working with multi-unit operators back then, or was it mostly franchisors and just whatever franchisees were getting involved? Was there a push with multi-unit folks then?
It's interesting, and that really was a learning for us, because we were in franchising and talking to many, many franchisors. And what we learned through all of the interviews we were doing is that franchisors were communicating to us that they were, you know, that the profile of the prospective franchisee 20 years ago shifted from being a ma and pa operator to, and this is what, three recessions ago in the late 80s, to the more white collar, profile, individuals that had really good business acumen, you know, be it marketing, finance, et cetera. And they had lost their, they weren't enamored anymore with the business world because they were being laid off. They were, the golden parachutes were happening. This was a long time ago. So we're paying attention to what the franchisors are telling us, which is, you know, these guys don't want one. They want two or three, and they can do it.
Mm.
And so there was a shift in the mindset of, you know, number of franchisors that we were talking to. And so that's how the conversation started. So that really was the impetus for us to start reaching out and talking to, finding, and then talking to multi-unit franchisees. And, you know, at that time, that was all by phone. It was, you know, a lot of research. And what we learned was that multi-unit franchising was never previously done by design. It was really done almost by accident. You know, I grew had two or three restaurants, or I had two restaurants in a market, and I'm loving what I'm doing. And now I'm going to, you know, I go to my franchisor and say, can I have that market? Can I have that market? So there wasn't a lot of strategy that went into it back then, but the food industry, it was happening. There were many, many food franchisees that were growing with multiples. And so that is when we decided to launch a multi-unit franchising conference. And this goes, 18 years ago or so. The problem was franchisors, we had a number of franchisors that wanted to attract franchisees from other systems, but we didn't have the brand or the relationship with the franchisees to, you know, to really get them to come. And so we threw a big party and nobody came to the party 18 years ago. It was at that point that we decided we put the cart before the horse, and we launched a magazine, multi-unit franchising magazine, so that we had a brand, we could build a brand with multi-unit franchisees. So that's how we started, and I will tell you that I've had the most refreshing and candid conversations with multi-unit franchisees over the years, and I love what these guys do. It's their money on the line, and when I say guys, men and women, it's their money on the line, and so they are passionate. They're big risk takers, and there's just been so much to talk about. So on our franchising.com site, you know, we of course introduced years ago a channel for multi-unit franchisees, a channel for franchisors, and then a channel for franchise opportunity seekers. And our conference now is a sellout. We'll have 1,700 people this year, of which 700 to 800 will be multi-unit franchisees, and they will be there to tell their stories, to share their insights so that other multi-unit franchisees can learn and grow from them. And that's really the beauty of this conference. And additionally, about 75% of the multi-unit franchisees that attend are looking for other brands. So that multi-brand ownership has really been escalating in the industry. It's from that mindset, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket.
Yeah, so, you know, let me right? ask you about that. Are they? Do you see a trend of the multi-unit operators keeping their eggs in the restaurant basket or the home services basket, or you know something like that? Or are they truly diversifying out into all different types of things? Are you seeing any trends there?
Yeah, you know, I would say up until 5 years ago, food franchisees tended to move into other categories in the food space, you know, non-competing categories in the food space. Over the last 5 years, however, we are seeing more, you know, franchisees even in food moving outside of food, potentially into a service-based business. Or retail business. And that can have everything to do with, you know, food's taken some hits. Of course, it's highly competitive. It's still producing, you know, amazing businesses and profitability for a lot of franchisees. But I think there is a mindset that we're seeing as we talk to more and more and more of these multi-unit franchisees, which is our business.
Right.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's always interesting to me to see if that pendulum is going to swing back. You know, is the accordion, let's use a different analogy, is the accordion expanding as far as how diverse and different areas are getting into, or is it compressing? And also, is that, you know, is that part of what we're seeing happening across all franchising and you know, changes with regulations and economic issues and that kind of thing? Like, where do you see it going over the next year? You know, that continued change in that trend, or do you think it might swing back the other way?
No, I think we'll continue to see that trend. You know, for example, Guillermo Perales, who is the chair of our multi-unit conference this year, has 7-8 brands. They were all food up until a few years ago. He now has a number of T-Mobiles. He has a number of general nutrition centers and is looking at a couple of other brands that I can't talk about.
Interesting.
Yes, and there is a large McAllister's franchisee that I just talked to, and he's on our advisory board of late. And he has moved into, he loves the McAllister's brand. He's loyal to that. He's grown a ton of them, and now he's moving into some non-food brands. And I could tell you a number of stories. And sometimes it doesn't work. There's a very large Papa John's franchisee that we know that made a move into senior care and realized that through another franchise opportunity that it just wasn't for him, that he wanted to stick with food.
Mm-hmm. If he thought the pizza business was competitive, way do you get to senior care, right?
Right. And you know, 10 years ago, that was a different world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's interesting to me that it feels like these guys are going from, you know, being pizza guys or sandwich guys or you know, frozen yogurt guys to just being business guys, right? And that
that's correct.
Diversification, you know, really seems to be taking hold. We talk a lot about economic factors and the change in the landscape on this show as far as the regulations and, you know, what's going to happen with the new administration and the new year and lots of changes economically. How do you see these things factoring in for multi-unit operators at this point?
Well, we've surveyed them on a regular basis, and certainly multi-unit franchisees are concerned about the outcome of, for example, the joint employer issue, as are franchisors, as they should be. However, I think with the outcome of the election this year, there's a more positive outlook than there was potentially a year ago. And that makes sense. There's always going to be challenges out there, economic challenges, et cetera. And, you know, the biggest one is what's happening in the labor, in the labor environment, and especially with the joint employer, the NLRB, et cetera. But these folks are used to challenges, and they tend to be an optimistic sort, and they lean toward optimism through solutions. So, you know, they have a responsibility to people, to helping their people grow, and what we're seeing is still growth. Mm. These franchisees are still adding units. Mm-hmm. Some are building them. Many are building their own. Many are doing it by acquisition in all different industries. And I think there is an optimism right now. This joint employer thing, and of course, you know, the whole Obamacare, what's happening with that, Hubbard, and the IFA, thank goodness, is being very proactive on the joint employer issue. And hopefully we'll see an outcome that is going to be good at the very least. For all of us in franchising.
Yeah, it certainly feels like it, doesn't it? I know I felt that optimism at the IFA convention this January and February, and I'm looking forward to feeling that, you know, coming up at some of your events coming up this spring and summer. And I do want to talk about the multi-unit show in Vegas coming up in April. But first, I've got to ask you about, you had your first conference in Europe late last year. How was that? Tell us about
it. We did. It was great. You know, when you launch something new, especially in a foreign country, there is uncertainty. But we partnered with a group in Florence that we've gotten to know over the last 4 years. They've been attending our conference. And so we had 10 sponsors. We limited it, half of them from the United States, so Denny's and CKE and Dairy Queen and Michael Side and Associates. That, you know, they supported the conference, and we're pretty pleased with the direction it went. We attracted about 100 attendees from predominantly Italy, but we did attract folks from Spain, and some of the, you know, other Eastern European countries in addition to France. Mm-hmm. And the whole purpose behind that conference was multi-unit franchising is really not something that's done in any big way in Europe. So it was an educational program to talk to investors and multi-unit franchisees, or not multi, you know, small franchisees, on how they can grow And we brought in three multi-unit franchisees from the United States that shared their experiences and challenges with them. So we're going for our second one next year.
Excellent. Planting the seeds. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the big show, the multi-unit franchise conference in Vegas, April 23rd through the 26th. What can you tell us about this year's event?
Well, first off, we have one of the largest franchisees in the United States, Guillermo Perales, who is our chairman. We're very excited about that. His company is Sun Holdings. He's been a part of our advisory board for years. In addition to great programming, which, by the way, comes directly from our multi-unit advisory board. We spend time with them personally to understand their key challenges and the types of programs they'd like. And the programs are full of multi-unit franchisees in all different categories. What we're really excited about is our two keynotes. We have Marcus Lemonis from The Prophet. He's our opening day keynote. And everyone's pretty excited about him. That's who our board wanted, and we were lucky enough to secure him. And then we have Ronnie Lott. You know Ronnie?
I know Ronnie. I know Ronnie from the San Francisco 49ers, four Super Bowls. Oh, yeah, Ronnie
right?
Lott. I'm looking forward to that.
I think Jack knows Ronnie.
And he's a big businessman, and he has a number of dealerships. So he's our second-day keynote speaker, so we're pretty excited about that as well.
Great.
A lot of good things. Yes. Especially the franchisees on the program. They come in every different shape and size, and we're covering all the key topics that our board wanted.
That's great. So we're running a little short on time here. So let's let everybody know where they can get more information about the conference coming up in April. Where do we want to send them to get information and registration details?
The easiest place, the most direct place to get all of the information is at multiunitfranchisingconference.com.
All right. And we will have links to that on the Social Geek Radio site and Facebook page as well. So if you're already joining us on Facebook, you can find it there as well. Or go to multiunitfranchisingconference.com. And Therese, if anybody has some follow-up questions specifically for you, or they'd like to learn a little bit more about some of the things that you were speaking about here tonight, what's the best way for them to reach you personally?
Email.
Okay.
Right now, email. And I'll probably give a different answer, Jack, in 6 months, right? email. So that's Therese, T-H-E-R-E-S-E-T, at franchiseupdatemedia.com. How's that for a long one?
That's okay. We'll put a link to that one as well. Therese T at franchiseupdatemedia.com. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was terrific getting an update on the multi-unit industry, and we look forward to chatting with you further this coming April 23rd through the 26th at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Okay, good night.
Thanks for joining Social Geek Radio. Brought to you by Deb Evans Consulting and Kigo. Unlock your digital potential. Copyright 2017 Social Geek Radio.